Wednesday, December 30th, 8 o'clock a.m., Royal Genovian Bedroom. It's a gray, misty morning in Genovia. We do occasionally have those. We're a coastal community, after all. And I don't feel like getting out of bed. Partly, it's because there's no reason to. Without the sunshine, there's no chance we'll be going to the beach or pool today. No riding Chrissy, my pony, either. She hates going out in the rain. But also, because my phone just chimed to let me know I've gotten a text. Lady Luisa, I hate you. That's all it said. Just, I hate you. But that's all she needed to say, really. I know what she means. Grandmère had told the Baroness what Luisa had done, and that I'd witnessed it. And the Baroness had not only immediately flown home from Biarritz, she'd told Luisa's parents. If Princess Komiko is right, and Luisa's parents are arguing in their divorce settlement over who doesn't get custody of Luisa because neither of them want her, the news that Luisa had snuck into the Princess of Genovia's private bedroom and snapped photos of herself trying on the royal crown probably hadn't gone over too well. I bet her parents are now arguing over which military boarding school to send her to. I thought about texting Luisa back, I hate you too, but that didn't seem like a very royal thing to do. Grandmère always says that a royal never expresses dislike for anything, even food one doesn't like. One merely spits it discreetly into one's napkin, then leaves the napkin at the side of one's plate. Luisa is a food I don't particularly like, but I can't spit her out and leave her by the side of my plate because I'm related to her, and she also goes to the Royal Genovian Academy. So, unless her parents really do send her to military school, I'm going to have to see her again, which means I have to at least pretend to get along with her. So, instead of texting, I hate you too, I texted, Olivia Grace, I'm sorry, Luisa. I really am. This wasn't a lie. I am sorry. Sorry that she did something so foolish. Then I wrote, it probably would have been okay if you hadn't posted the photos online. I waited to see if she'd write back. If she really, truly hated me, she wouldn't. Being hated by anyone, even someone like Luisa, is unpleasant. Grandmère is the only person I know who doesn't care about being disliked. And Grandmère says that's because enemies make things more interesting, and that she's been around so long that she has too many friends already. She doesn't have time for them all. She says she needs to start thinning out her social calendar so that she can have more time for naps. Lady Luisa, you're still a stick, and you always will be. Prince Khalil thinks so too. He told Roger. What? This caused me to sit straight up in my bed. Olivia Grace, what do you mean? Lady Luisa, Roger's parents took away his gaming system as punishment, and now Roger can't play War Hunt with Khalil and the rest of the boys. When Khalil asked why, and Roger told him it's because you're a stick who squealed on us, Khalil said he was relieved he'd never kissed you. Now it will be easier for him to break up with you. Sorry, not sorry. That's what he said. I felt the cold thing from last night grip my heart again, only worse. Of course, I knew that Luisa was lying. Khalil would never call me a stick, especially to the Duke of Marlborough. Although Khalil and the Duke were friends, and they did play video games together. War Hunt is one of Prince Khalil's favorites. I'd tried to play it with him one time, but it had seemed so pointless. In the game, one soldier has to stop the other soldier, who's gone rogue, from blowing up the rest of the soldiers. I thought this was a bit stupid. Why didn't the princess of the country just declare that the war was over and send all the soldiers home and get mental health treatment for the rogue soldier. Prince Khalil said I was missing the point of the game, which I guess I was. Olivia Grace, you're lying. Prince Khalil never said that. Lady Louisa, yes, he did. He said he was breaking up with you because you're a stick who's never been kissed or ever even had her shells. Now I knew she was lying. Why on earth would Prince Khalil break up with me because I hadn't had my period, let alone shells, a word he couldn't even know meant period? By this time, I was so mad, I'd gotten out of bed and stormed across the room to open the curtains, accidentally tripping over Nishi on her air mattress because I'd forgotten she was still visiting. "What's going on?" she asked sleepily, rubbing her eyes. "Louisa says Prince Khalil is breaking up with me because I'm a stick who's never been kissed or had her period," I told her, pointing at my phone. Nishi yawned. "Oh, her. Don't believe anything she says. She's just mad because she's in trouble for the thing with the crown. Right?" I sat back down on my bed. "Khalil was there. He saw what they did." "Exactly." Nishi brushed her long hair from her eyes. "What do you think Chef Bernard has made for breakfast? Chocolate croissants, I hope." "I should just text Prince Khalil," I said, "and ask him, shouldn't I? I mean, if he really said that thing about breaking up with me. Not that we're going out. We're just friends, really." "No." Nishi was on her feet. She snatched my phone away from me. "Don't do that. Don't dignify anything that cousin of yours says with the response. Why are you even talking to her? Torturing you is what she lives for." "Yeah," I said. "I'm glad you're finally starting to notice. But I should text him anyway just to say good morning." "Do you normally text him just to say good morning?" "Well," I said, "no." "Then why would you start now? Let him text you." This made no sense to me. "Why?" "Because it never hurts to let a boy wait." Nishi put my cell phone down her pants. Nishi," I said, "I'm pretty sure that was a sexist statement. Also, what you just did is completely unhygienic. May I have my phone back?" "Not right now. Too much screen time is bad for you. Let's go eat breakfast." I decided not to argue with her. Nishi's been going out with Dylan longer than I've been going out with Prince Khalil, so she probably knows what she's doing. Except the part where Dylan is a cheater and her parents hate him so much they took away her cell phone so she couldn't talk to him. Maybe Nishi doesn't know what she's doing. Ugh. Wednesday, December 30th, noon, Royal Media Room. We barely got 2 feet from my bedroom door before practically tripping over Prince Morgan. He was waiting in the hallway for us. Literally, he was sitting in the hall across from my bedroom door, playing video games on his phone. "Excuse me, Your Highness and Miss Desai," Prince Morgan said very politely, climbing quickly to his feet. "I wanted to ask, would you mind babysitting me again today?" He wasn't alone, either. Guess who was with him? "I blush?" Purple Iris held up her tiny baby brush. "I pay with big kids? I blush?" "No," I practically yelled, and tried to escape as quickly as possible by climbing onto the banister of the grand staircase to slide down it, a technique Rocky and I have perfected over the months that we've lived here. Unfortunately, Nishi stopped me. "Hang on, Olivia," she whispered. "What would your grandmother say if we ignored this amazing business opportunity?" "That we were doing the right thing," I said. "It's as important to protect your mental health as it is your physical health." This is the excuse Grandmère often gives for why she has to leave the palace whenever Helen Thermopolis's parents come to visit from Indiana. No, Nishi said. I think we need to pursue this journey to its exciting and final conclusion. Where did you get that line? I asked her. The Bachelor? No, she said. Well, maybe. You only want to do it for the money, I said, careful to whisper so that the prince wouldn't overhear me. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Well, of course, Olivia, Nishi whispered back, but also because it's the right thing to do. And isn't that what you're always saying you want to do? The right thing? It was true. I did always want to do the right thing. And it was also true that before he'd met us, Prince Morgan had rarely, if ever, interacted with kids his own age, only his phone and his parents and his tutors, not to mention whoever made his butterscotch sundaes. We'd introduced a whole new world to him. That had to have been a good thing. I glanced at the kid, who was shifting his weight from one foot to the other, staring at us eagerly. I blush, Purple Iris said hopefully, holding up her brush. I pay with big kids. Okay, I said to Prince Morgan and Purple Iris. We'll babysit you again today. Come on, we're going down to the kitchens to see what's for breakfast. Prince Morgan's face lit up. Do you think Prince Gunther could come over again too? He asked. I know we can't play water polo since it's raining, but perhaps we could do something else? Anything else? I said, exchanging an amused glance with Nishi. Sure, we could invite Prince Gunther over again. Prince Gunther would love it. And maybe we could invite Prince Khalil as well, I said. You liked him, didn't you, Prince Mor- Ow! The ow was because Nishi had stepped on my foot and given me a warning glance. Prince Khalil can come over any time he wants, she said. But he has to text first. That's how these things work. Wow, I didn't know all these rules about dating. I thought anyone could text first. It's no wonder Prince Khalil and I have never kissed. Now we're all in the royal media room. Well, all of us, minus the babies and Prince Khalil. The babies, because the nanny is back from her vacation today, and Prince Khalil, because he still hasn't texted. Where we're watching the unauthorized biopics of my sister, Mia's, life. Nishi got them for me for Christmas, and is the one who insisted on watching them. The adults aren't here, of course. For one thing, Mia doesn't like the unauthorized movies based on her life. She says they are highly inaccurate. And for another, they are all too busy strategizing about what to do if the decision from the Supreme Court goes the wrong way. I think Purple Iris is a little bored, but there are enough scenes in the movies with cats and dogs that she's mostly behaving pretty well. I can sort of see what Mia means about the inaccuracies, because for some reason, the filmmakers decided to include a lot of stuff about Fat Louie and Grandmère's dog, Rommel. Only they didn't cast animals that actually look like Fat Louie or Rommel. Possibly they couldn't find a 20-pound orange tabby cat that likes to eat socks, or a hairless miniature poodle. Midway through the last film, Grandmère came into the media room, curious about what we were doing. Then she saw what we were watching. Oh, she said. My. Grandmère has never been the biggest fan of the unauthorized biopics of Mia's life. But since she likes the actress they cast to play her, she stuck around, commenting on the many inaccuracies in the writing, mainly her love life and Genovia's location, which is erroneously stated as being situated between France and Spain. As every educated schoolchild knows, Genovia is between France and Italy. I kind of thought that I would have heard from Prince Khalil by now. I guess it's not so weird that I haven't, though. It's not like we've ever texted each other every minute of the day. We live our own independent lives. We each have our own interests, after all. We're not some crazy, mushy married couple like Mia and Michael, who I sometimes see making out by the fountain at night, even though they have their own bedroom. The fact that Prince Khalil hasn't called doesn't in any way make what Luisa said true. Right? Right? Wednesday, December 30th, 6 o'clock p.m., Royal Dining Room. It's 6 o'clock, and we still haven't heard anything from the Genovian Supreme Court. I haven't heard anything from Prince Khalil either, at least according to Nishi, who is still holding my phone, though in her pocket, not her panties, to make sure I don't call him. It's important not to appear needy, she says.
I don't think Princess Olivia could ever appear needy,
Prince Morgan says, coming to my defense. I'm really beginning to like this kid. He's been growing on me more and more, especially since he let Purple Iris brush his hair and braid it, which to her means put it in a butterfly clip. Prince Gunther let her do the same thing. They both look absolutely adorable. I don't know, Nishi, I say. I'm starting to think this whole not letting me call him thing is stupid, because playing games in relationships is childish. It's like something my cousin Luisa would do.
What would your cousin Luisa do?
Prince Gunther bounds up and asks. He has Purple Iris on his shoulders. She's riding him like a pony. In fact, her nickname for him is Pince Pony, since she can't say the word prince. Nothing, Nishi says quickly. Just girl talk. Prince Gunther frowns.
I hate that. Why does there have to be girl talk and boy talk? Why can't all talk be for everyone?
I realize he has a point. Yeah, I say. What about that? Why can't all talk be for everyone? If all boys were as nice as Prince Gunther, that would be fine, Nishi says. But they aren't. Prince Gunther is so startled by this unexpected compliment that he stumbles, a bit like a pony that's seen a snake. Ponies are deathly afraid of snakes. Fortunately, Purple Iris, who is clinging to his hair, manages to hang on safely without falling off.
Whoa! She cries. Bad pony! Bad pony!
You think I am nice?
Prince Gunther asks Nishi in an astonished voice once he's recovered himself. Well, she says, blushing a little. I mean, yes, of course. A little.
Only a little?
Prince Gunther asks teasingly. Well, Nishi says, lowering her eyelashes like one of her beloved Disney princesses. Maybe more than a little. I can't believe this. Nishi is flirting with Prince Gunther, but she has a boyfriend back in New Jersey for whom she got her cell phone taken away. Nishi's boyfriend, Dylan, is the whole reason we're babysitting these little royals in the first place. Meanwhile, she still won't give me back my phone. I was never sure her relationship with Dylan made her such an expert in the social sciences anyway, especially since he's a cheater, on tests anyway. But who even cares? Whether or not my friend who is a boy still likes me is hardly as important as who will one day rule the country in which I live. Guests have been arriving all day for tomorrow's coronation, and may I say that it is a bit awkward that we still don't know whether there'll even be a ceremony for them to attend? But of course, Mia keeps saying, everything is going to be fine, just fine, and smiling and laughing. I know this is all a big act, however, not only because as soon as the guests turn their backs as they're led away to their rooms by the major domo, Mia completely stops smiling, but also because Lily told me a secret. When Mia is lying, her nostrils flare. I looked super close at Mia's face, and it's true. Every time Mia says everything is going to be fine, her nostrils flare all over the place. My sister definitely doesn't think everything is going to be fine, and I'm starting to agree. I could tell when Cousin Renee came to pick up Prince Morgan to take him out for dinner. We all agreed it probably wouldn't be best for the Albertos to dine with us tonight. He had the biggest grin on his face. Things obviously went much better in court for Prince Morgan's family than it did for mine.
Over my dead body will Prince Morgan be crowned ruler of Genovia,
Dad keeps saying. Dad, honestly, I hung out with him all day today, I say. He's a little spoiled, but not so bad.
Not so bad?
Dad looks like he can hardly believe me.
Not so bad? Do you have any idea how much I've paid for all this, Olivia?
By all this, he means everything tomorrow, including all the fireworks and the food at the post-coronation ball. It's all being paid for out of our personal estate.
No Alberto is going to enjoy chrysanthemums or beef Wellington purchased with our money,
Dad says. Chrysanthemums are those type of fireworks that explode into great, big, round balls of sparkly light. They look just like the flowers they're named after. They're basically the best fireworks, and they cost a lot. Dad, remember your blood pressure, Mia says.
And also what the royal physician said about eating too much salt, says Helen.
But it's too late. Dad has already eaten around 4 bags of salt and vinegar chips, his favorite. I totally understand. Even though I don't dislike Prince Morgan as much as I used to, I've eaten 24 Genovian macarons in assorted flavors. It's hard not to eat when you're... Wednesday, December 30th, 10 o'clock p.m., Royal Bedroom. I had to stop writing before because a royal courier walked in with a letter. Everything is different now. 5 exclamation points. Not just because of the letter. I got a phone call, too. 6 exclamation points. But first, the letter. It had the wax seal of the Genovian Supreme Court on it, so I knew it could only be one thing. The ruling about whether Mia would be crowned tomorrow. I don't know about anyone else, but I was practically holding my breath as I watched her break open the seal, then read what was written inside.
Well?
Dad asked anxiously.
What does it say?
A huge smile spread across Mia's face. This time, her nostrils didn't flare. It says that the Rinaldo family is the one and only true heir to the throne of Genovia. Everyone in the room cheered, which of course woke the sleeping twins, who started to cry. But no one cared. Mia hugged Michael, who lifted her up and spun her around. Dad, seeing this, tried to do the same thing to Helen, but she cried for him not to, saying, "You're back! You'll throw it out again, Philippe!" But Dad didn't care about his back any more than he cared about the crying babies. He swung Helen around anyway. Rocky whooped, gave me a high five, then a down low, and then a fist bump. Then he grabbed hands with me and Nishi and made a ring around Grandmère, pulling us around her, chanting, "We're number one! We're number one!" the way he does whenever his soccer team wins a game at school. I will admit, this was kind of fun.
"Children, please,"
Grandmère said. But I could tell from her smile that she was delighted.
"You're making me nauseous. And such flagrant displays of celebration are vulgar. Kindly remember that a good sport accepts both his wins and losses with grace."
"But Grandmère," Rocky yelled, "we don't have to move out of the palace."
Which caused Grandmère's smile to turn into a frown.
"And what," she said, "would have been so wrong with that? A great many people don't live in palaces and are perfectly content. I believe you yourself spent most of your life living in a downtown New York City loft apartment. Were you unhappy then?
No,
Rocky admitted, pretending that a bust of an ancient relative of ours was a basketball hoop and going for an imaginary jump shot. But I didn't have my own pool or billiards room.
The mark of a truly royal person is one who can live happily without material things and still do good works for those less fortunate, said Grandmère.
Although I noticed Grandmère looked pretty relieved, probably because she doesn't have to give up her chaise longue next to the pool, upon which she can be found most mornings, soaking up the Genovian sun.
I don't understand, Nishi said. How could Prince Morgan's family have lost the lawsuit? I thought his DNA was a 99.9 genetic match to Princess Rosagun's.
It is, but that wasn't the only parameter the court took into account while making their ruling, Lily said. She was looking over the letter that the court had sent over. Royal succession has never been as simple or straightforward as inheritance based on blood.
Absolutely, Grandmère said with a nod. How could the courts overlook the fact that Rinaldos have been toiling for centuries to ensure that Genovia is one of the best places on earth to live? That its roads and hospitals and schools are the finest, that its people are well fed and cared for, and that its hotels and restaurants are rated the highest in the world on TripAdvisor.
Well, that, Lily said, and the fact that Prince Morgan's parents violated the law by breaking into the crypt of Princess Rosagund and removing her DNA without state permission.
My jaw dropped when I heard this. They did?
Shocking, but true, Mia said, as she fussed over the babies to get them back to sleep. I'm quite certain Cousin Renee, defiling one of our most sacred and historic landmarks, didn't help his claim with the court that he would be the best ruler of Genovia. I shook my head. I was glad we had won the lawsuit, but all I could think about was poor Prince Morgan.
Will Cousin Renee go to jail? I asked.
Unlikely, Lily said. As a lawyer, she would know. But he'll probably have to pay a fine for desecrating a national monument and a princess's final resting place.
Before I had a chance to think about how truly awful it was that Prince Morgan's dad had broken into a grave to steal a princess's DNA in an attempt to make his son the ruler of Genovia, Nishi raced up to me and held out my phone.
"It's him," she said breathlessly.
It may sound stupid, but my heart skipped a beat when she held up my phone and the screen was flashing Prince Khalil. Accept? Decline?
He'd called. He'd finally called.
Of course I hit accept and then ran out the French doors into the garden so I could have some privacy and also so that I could hear him because the babies were crying again.
Hello?
Olivia?
His voice sounded amazing, as nice and friendly as always, and not at all like he hated me.
Hi, it's me. I just heard about the ruling. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, I said, trying to sound cool. Why was I trying to sound cool?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, I felt kind of nervous talking to him, which isn't like me, because why should I be nervous talking to my friend who is a boy?
Yeah, we're really happy about it.
You should be, he said. How crazy was that cousin of yours for digging up your ancestor's grave?
Ha, I said. I had to stand under an ornately carved gargoyle of a prancing lion coming out of the palace wall to keep from getting wet. It had been raining all day, and there was a jet of water shooting out of the lion's mouth, but none of it was hitting me.
I know, right? Pretty gross.
So I guess there's going to be a coronation ceremony tomorrow after all, he said.
I guess so, I said.
So I'll see you there?
Yes, I said. I mean, I have to be there. I'm carrying the train of the robe of state for my sister.
Right,
he said. Now his voice didn't sound so friendly anymore.
Olivia, are you mad at me or something?
Me? I was surprised. No. Why would I be mad at you? I thought you were mad at me.
Why would I be mad at you?
He asked.
You're the one who had a bunch of people over today and didn't invite me.
A bad feeling crept over me. It felt as if the stream of rain from the lion gargoyle's mouth was shooting down my back, even though I was standing well away from it. My shoulders hunched up as I pressed my phone to my ear. How did you know about that? I asked.
Because Gunther posted all these photos on his social media,
Prince Khalil said,
of him hanging out at the palace today with you and Nishi and that Prince Morgan kid. You guys were watching movies or something. It looked like you were having fun.
My shoulders hunched even more. I felt terrible. At school, they were always warning us not to post photos of ourselves on social media, having fun with one another, because someone, somewhere, who hadn't been invited, was going to see the photo and feel sad or left out. Only that lesson had never sunk in for Prince Gunther. It wasn't his fault, necessarily. He just got carried away sometimes, like Purple Iris with the brushing. I didn't ask you because Louisa told me you wanted to break up, I said, feeling lame as the words were coming out of my mouth. I realized now that following Nishi's relationship advice had been a terrible idea. Prince Gunther was right. There shouldn't be girl talk or boy talk. It was important to be honest.
Break up with you?
Prince Khalil's voice cracked.
Why would I break up with you?
Because you were mad about how I squealed on Louisa and the Duke for being in my sister's bedroom, I said, blushing. I couldn't believe I'd said break up with me. Prince Khalil and I weren't exactly going out because we'd never even been on a date. So how could we break up? Why, oh why, had I believed for one second anything Louisa had said, let alone allowed Nishi to keep me from calling Prince Khalil all day?
I wasn't mad about that at all,
Prince Khalil said.
I thought you did the right thing.
How could you have thought something so awful about me? And why would you listen to anything your cousin said anyway? I don't know. I wanted to go stand under the jet of water coming from the gargoyle's mouth and let its cool stiffness put out the fire in my cheeks. But my cell phone wasn't waterproof. It's just that Louisa said you and the Duke were playing War Hunt, and that you...
War Hunt? I haven't seen Roger since I was at your house. I've been home all day, helping my auntie set up her new computer.
Now I felt even worse. Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Well, you would have, Prince Khalil said, if you'd called.
That pricked at my pride. Well, I said, you could have called me, too.
How could I? I thought you were mad at me since you were having a party and didn't invite me.
What was happening? Were we having our first fight? It wasn't a party, I assured him, grasping at anything to keep what I was pretty sure was happening from happening. It was just more babysitting. Prince Morgan asked for Prince Gunther to be there.
And not me?
Oh, no. Now I'd hurt his feelings. He asked for you, too, I lied smoothly. Grandmère says it's okay to lie if it makes someone feel better. But I really did think you were mad at me, so I said you were busy.
Well,
Prince Khalil said, sounding only slightly less wounded.
I guess Louisa got what she wanted.
I was confused. And what was that?
Drama. It's her favorite thing.
I couldn't help feeling even more terrible. It was true. Once again, my awful cousin had won. But at least we realized what she was up to before any permanent damage occurred, I said, more hopefully than I felt. right?
Sure, he said,
but he didn't sound as convinced as I'd have liked.
Look, I have to go. My mom is calling me.
He wasn't lying, either. I did hear a woman's voice in the background calling his name. Maybe. It was hard to be sure with all the rain. Okay, I said, but I'll see you tomorrow, right? At the coronation?
Yes, he said. Bye.
And then he hung up. He actually hung up. This was a wholly unsatisfactory conversation, and not just because I had it standing in the rain. Well, practically standing in the rain. I think Prince Khalil and I just had our first fight. Only it wasn't a fight, really, because we both agreed I'd made a terrible decision, believing anything Louisa said. It left a terrible weight between my already hunched-up shoulders. Nishi noticed as soon as I walked back into the dining room. "What's the matter?" she asked, her smile fading. She thought I'd come in bubbling over with happiness, like any girl whose crush had finally called. "Is everything okay?" "Sure," I said. I didn't want to tell Nishi what was wrong, especially since I didn't even know what was wrong. Maybe nothing. "Everything's fine. Except that, unlike my sister Mia, my nostrils didn't flare when I said it. Everyone thinks I really am okay. And I am. Mostly. I'm just not looking forward to tomorrow as much as I was before. And it's all Louisa's fault. And maybe a little bit mine as well."